Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched three things this week. We started off with the 96th Annual Academy Awards, a major spoiler alert for the winners and nominees, also a spoiler alert warning for Anatomy of a Fall because we do talk about one of the major plot points in our discussion. We then watched the third episode of Shogun, major spoiler alert for that as well, and then finally we watched Damsel on Netflix, and you guessed it, a spoiler alert for that. And now without further ado, here's We're Watching What? All right, our Super Bowl has ended, and for me at least, much like the real Super Bowl, or the football Super Bowl, it ended in disappointment. How are you two feeling? What were your highs? What were your lows?
Like of the show, or of the awards?
Either, any of it. All of it. Yeah, all of the above.
Yeah, I loved the show, actually. I was really into it. I thought it was just kind of, to me, like, it was just a good show, so nothing was, like, so crazy that, like, okay, you know, we're used to now. Well, unfortunately,
the slap has redefined. Yeah,
it's redefined it a bit where it's like, oh man, it's like a buzzworthy thing where this really felt like one of the last year's. I really enjoyed too, but I think I enjoyed last year's more for the award part of it and the everything everywhere of it all more than I enjoyed it as far as just the show. But this, I thought Jimmy Kimmel did well. I thought that it was even feeling, and I just had a good time. Like, it felt like it was kind of back to a pre-pandemic Oscars show that I enjoy. The fashion felt really back finally. Like, people have been doing it, but
yeah,
felt really like people were really going all out, and I loved it.
I did not like the fashion all that much this year for some reason. Like, I was really not it. Like the like very architectural, like sleeves.
The women of Oppenheimer are not allowed to wear sleeves that fit.
Yes, it was so bizarre. I couldn't get in. I mean, obviously some people did well, right? Like everyone, there's someone, you know.
Yeah.
That being said, like, I didn't actually watch the Oscars because I can't stream it. So yeah. I watched just clips online. So I've only really seen the stuff that people are talking about, I guess. I watched Emma Stone's speech, of course. She was adorable and it was really cute. And I mean, of course, I wanted Lily Gladstone to kind of win just for the, you know.
I think Lily Gladstone gave a better performance. Also, did the two of you know that Emma Stone has a kid? Because that was news to me in that speech.
Yeah, I knew that. I remember,
I guess.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I thought the I'm Just a Kid performance that was reminiscent of How to Marry a Millionaire. The Marilyn Monroe.
Oh yes.
Sequence. Oh, that was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dana, I remember when we talked about Poor Things that first time. We differed on Emma's performance. I thought she was great in it, and I really was excited. I thought oh wow, I loved her in this. But I was Sandra. I wanted Sandra to win.
I
wanted Sandra. I thought Lily was fantastic. I've said this before, I know, but in Flower Moon. However, I think she was a supporting actress. So I just think that it was the wrong category. And I was really happy for Devine, but I thought that Lily should have been there, to be honest. But just like I thought Carrie should have been too. But or if she's going to be nominated, she should.
Yeah, no, I could see that.
So, but I thought this was especially with also other awards that were happening. I thought this was Sandra's year. I was like, this is, you know,
she was in those films.
Two Oscar-nominated films, multi-nominated, and winners in different categories. And not that that means everything has to win from it, but I just mean I know I said it then, and I probably hyped it way too much for anyone who listened to me say that. But I thought Sandra gave one of the best performances I've ever seen. So
I think Anatomy of a Fall. You're talking about Anatomy, right? Like, she's great in Zone, but like,
oh,
Anatomy
she's great in Zone, but that's like the acting film, you know?
Right. And I think the problem is like these are not big flashy films, so
right. Right. You know. So it was really great that they got recognized the way they did, honestly, because they were both fantastic. But Messy the dog. Every
did
time
you see
they
the,
cuts,
like,
I'm pretty excited about that because I read an article.
He wasn't going to be there.
And I was like, oh, because if anyone deserved at least an honorary Oscar, it was him. Because I almost died when I thought he almost died on screen.
Spoilers, yes.
That was dramatic.
No, agreed. Truly one of the best performances that I still would like to know how they did that.
I read an article about it, actually. The trainer said it took them 2 months to get it right because it was just like really hard to learn, I guess.
I mean, sure, it's not a natural thing. You know, as the member of this group who is the most probably anti-animals in public settings, I was still happy. I was very relieved Messi was there. And also when they cut to like the clappy hand
Yeah. I saw a picture of the guy laying under the seat
on the floor. Yeah, that was so cute.
That person and the Ken hand cameraman are the two heroes of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. Well, and honestly, like, you're John Cena. Like, he got laughs for
you. Oh my God. I was just like, thank you, whoever did this. Thank you. Yeah. To whoever made this man come out in like a man diaper. Yeah,
that was a favorite moment. I loved, of course, sometimes when they come out, the presenters, and they're doing their weird like dialogues together, they can be really like sometimes not great. Mm-hmm. But I thought that America and Kate McKinnon, I thought coming out, and I thought theirs was so funny and talking about like special effects, and then the whole Jeff Goldblum thing. I don't know if you saw that. And it was like, is he real? And she's like, well, who have been sending my tasteful nudes to all these years? Then? Oh, yeah. That's Steven Spielberg. And he's like, he was in on it. It was just, I just laughed so hard. I was like, this is so stupid. And I was like, it just worked though. It was funny. Yeah. Partly because Kate is so Kate,
spectacular. You know, but, yeah.
And then the reading the Trump text. I mean,
it
was hysterical.
I know. I had to look because I was just like, is this a real thing that's happening?
And it was.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back. I thought the show itself, generally, I enjoyed. I was somewhat underwhelmed by some of the waiters. It just like it was pretty predictable, honestly. And not that that's a bad thing, but I personally disagree with maybe some of the choice. Or like, you know, I would have picked other things. But my favorite moment of the night was Al Pacino coming out and just being like, Oppenheimer, we're going home.
Yeah. Yeah. My sister happened to be watching live, and she texted me at that moment, and she was just like, they're really, you know.
I've never seen the show, but I've never seen the show come in under time.
I know. It was amazing. And then like the full credits got to run in a really like nice way. It wasn't sped through. And I was like, and I was just watching with all the footage, people hugging each other. And I was like, this was pleasant. Yeah. It was funny because he was just up, no, all business.
He was just like, why am I here? Yeah.
Yeah. But on that note, I don't know if you're about to say this. I loved the way they did the acting presentations.
Firm disagree.
Loved it. I was like, I got emotional during a lot of them.
This is my issue with those situations. One, there's only a handful of like diverse ones they can trot out. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, this just, to me, it serves to highlight the kind of lack of representation, generally speaking, in these, and that they're like, oh, we got to keep, we only have Michelle, right? We only have Key. We only have like certain people. And also, I think my issue with it is that it just feels like it places higher value on acting categories, which, yes, I know they're stars, they're celebrities, they're the people we're there to see, but it just, you know, it makes me sad for the people who like don't get seen ever, and this is their one night or whatever. And it's just like, all the time is going to like this intro for this person who's already been well celebrated and will continue to be well celebrated after, versus like, I don't know, the Godzilla Minus One team who may never get to be up on that stage again.
I feel that, but I thought that I think that it kind of, other than directors, I think it arguably most directly has an impact on the actors in a way of like salary increase and like new job opportunities. Like, so I think it feels like it's very much about them, and I know maybe it doesn't need to feel more like that, but I guess I was cool leading into it. And I just love seeing, I watch this too, like the reason I like start watching at like noon and I watch all the red carpet stuff is I like watching the stars. I like the celebrity of it all.
Yeah, no, I get that.
More,
it's just
opportunity to have more celebrities up there. Like I just like seeing it all on the outfits and the things they're saying. I love it.
I enjoy that part. I enjoy the spectacle very much. But like, I always find that the most, sometimes, generally speaking, like some of the more heartfelt or like interesting or, you know, surprising speeches come from the not heavy hitting, you know, name rehearsed winners.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's, and like, I'm also thinking about the year that they like cut a bunch of categories from air, right? And it's just, I know they didn't do this that year, but it just, and you know, credit to them, they came in under time. So good job. But finding the balance for me, and because I have like friends in some of the more technical categories, or like, I know, you know, I'm always just like, no.
Yeah, no, I get that, because there's a taste level, right? Where you're talking like, it's okay. And just a couple of years ago, you were like, we're not going to air all the winners. Yeah. And then in this year, you're like, we're going to extend the length of time we're going to spend on the actors. So it's like, I get it. It's like, okay. It's like, if you had always done this from the beginning and it was just a cool thing, it might be a thing that's like, it's endearing, but it can be seen as like, you know, okay, you're putting value on things higher than others. So I totally get that. Yeah. And that being said, the team and the director I can't remember the name of it right now, but the best foreign film short.
Twenty Days in foreign film or international feature
zone of interest. Docu short. Docu like short. Where
Oh, Last Repair Shop. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I the LAUSD one.
But then, that was, I was really rooting for that one. But then also the, how do you say the
Oh, Nine Eye Whitepool.
Yeah.
No, 20 Days in Marple. What are you saying?
In Marple. Yeah, that one. That yeah. guy's speech was like so, yeah. I loved it. Like, it was so poignant. It was awkward to like, it was like, ugh. Because it was uncomfortable, but it's like, no, you need to make these people uncomfortable because this is like...
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to talk about that, like, the zone of interest one was, I think, the best yes. said speech of the night, and that man is Jewish. Like, you know, yeah. you can be Jewish and disavow, sure. like, not disavow, you can, you know, provide constructive criticism. I don't know how to describe it. I'm trying to, like, prevent the algorithm from blacklisting us from saying certain
right,
words.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I will say, I it's funny because I watched Last Repair Shop on Saturday, and I think it's super sweet, but my 99 white pole were robbed. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can see that. There were a lot of good options this year in the shorts. Yeah,
it was. I enjoyed the no-shows.
Wes Anderson.
His first Oscar. And couldn't be there, which, you know, fair. And then Miyazaki just being like, I don't give a damn. And not sending like, anyone. Like, I was like, yeah, that's fine.
No, that's true. And then I really, really like Cord Jefferson's. So
that happy that was the one surprise to me that, like.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. But you know how I feel. I was so happy about that. And I really liked his speech. And I loved when he was like, you know, maybe instead of making one $200 million film, make 20$10 million films. Like, you know, and I was like, yes. That's what we want. I mean, we want the big budget thing too every now and then, but like, I don't, you know, often we come out of this and like, how often are we saying, like, if we're talking about, oh, our favorites of the year, how often are they the $200 million blockbuster versus sometimes it's like these, it's just these indies a lot of the time, as they call them, you know, like,
yeah,
that end up shining in a more meaningful way, I guess. Speaking
of indies, my favorite indie character film, et cetera, to win was Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah, I was happy for them. Yeah,
I think, you know, there was like, this person took this many years before they got their break, blah, blah, blah. Like, it only took 70 years and 38 films for Godzilla to win their first Oscar. Keep trying. You know, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I was happy for them. And also that category this year, especially, I was kind of like, I don't really care about a lot of these. You know, like, I was like, honestly, if I was picking one for like, aside from that, I guess it would have had to be Napoleon, just because like we talked about how like realistic it all looked. So I was like, okay, that looked really great, but I wasn't giving that to Mission Impossible. And so, you know, like, it was.
Well, I thought it was going to be Guardians because they've won most of the technical Bake Off.
True. Yeah. Award. I could see that. Yeah.
I don't know. It was fine. I was like underwhelmed by it, generally speaking, but I didn't have a bad time. I just was like, all right.
Yeah.
What did my dad say that was very funny? Why do you think Barbie, he texted me, why do you think Barbie got ignored? And I said, men, the patriarchy, the literal plot of the film. And he said, I'm a lifelong patriarch. And I thought it was screwed. Like, it got screwed over. I was like, good job being an ally, dad.
Yeah. I was like, I'm on an island of one, though. I was like, I was fine with it. I mean, it, Billy winning, fine, but I didn't need it to win any of those other things for me.
Yeah. But, eh. I don't
know. Good for your dad.
Yeah, it was just, as a lifelong patriarch, I'm like, what does that mean? You don't become a father until, like, I don't know, sir, just go back.
He was a born father, you know?
Yeah.
I love that.
But yeah, it's, you know, the season begins again. Here we go again. All right, shall we move on to Shogun, episode 3? Also, you want to talk about, like, John Cena-esque outfits? I could not stop laughing at the, like, man diaper that he's in at the end of the episode. And I was also like, they need to get him like a better modesty thing under it.
But it felt like, I don't know, it felt like it must be super realistic though. Like, you know, like, so I appreciate it.
But
yeah, I feel like they've done such a good job researching the costumes and stuff that it felt like super authentic.
Oh, sure. But you can still put something under it. So.
Also, yeah.
Or not.
Whatever. If he wants to show things off, he can show things off.
Yeah.
His choice. Yeah. I did think it, I thought that saying was particularly funny because he's acting like he wants to learn how to dive into the ocean, which, like, okay. Yeah. Right? It's not that complicated. And then it's mostly just to tire him out so that he can be like, yes, we will swim against each other. But now you've
done. I didn't even think about that.
20, you know, dives and back up into the ship, we will compete. Like, oh,
Well, it was like bestowing him with an honor, but then like still establishing a power dynamic, and it was giving triangle sadness, like the water slide with the helpers, like, you know, like,
oh my god, yes,
because it was giving that.
I didn't even 100%. Think about
I was laughing, and he was like, "How long do I have to do this?" And Tully says, "Stop, dude!" Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and it was just a reestablished, like, but by the way, I still control everything about your fate. So,
you know? Yeah.
So, yeah, it was funny. But, yeah, I mean, I continue to just be awed by this show. I love it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I'm confused by it, but there's so many double crosses in this episode that I was like, okay, all right. Like, I'm just going to, nobody's friends with anybody. Great. Like,
yeah, like nobody can
it,
really.
It gets like a little confusing.
It's one of those things where, As you're experiencing it, it's kind of like you feel like, okay, people can't be trusted and everything, but then it kind of goes into the thing where the only person that, at least while I'm watching it, even feeling like I can like totally trust what they are going to do is mm-hmm. Cosmo Jarvis, just because it's like,
oh yeah,
he's just like wanting to survive, you know, like, and not involved in the game yet, and he's trying to figure it all out. But it's like, yeah, the double crossing keeps it very interesting for everything else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the most shocking moment to me, aside from the man diaper, was when we saw how old Anna Sawai's son or daughter or child is supposed to be. It's like basically young adult comes up. I was like, what? Like, no.
She's, I mean, so young when she.
Yeah, like child bride is not out of the question, but she's 31. So that's yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it she looks so young anyway that I was just like, okay.
Yeah, it was a bit shocking.
This is a stretch, but all right.
But yeah, I don't know. I loved it. And I was like, God, even like, I you know, it feels like the budget is just so big on this. And then even when they're, you know, on the black ship and everything, and it's like trying to go through those pirates. And I was like, there were moments and shots in there where I was like, is this Pirates of the Caribbean? Like, it's just like, this is a big budget film. Like, it feels good. I mean, there are things that could look better, of course, but it.
Yeah, I was like the
looking at like
the green screen
standard,
of the background of the diving thing. I was like, this is what we couldn't get right. Like better. Really? Yeah. This is just like,
yeah.
But well, I agree. The production value is, but, oh my God. And also the moment when Anna Sawai's husband basically sacrifices himself and gets, let you know, like Hiroyuki Sanada like bows to him, and then he's like, go forth, take on the entire village. I was like, oh damn, that, you know, it was really emotional, surprisingly emotional, considering like he didn't seem like, you know,
no, but
the
it,
most
but in, like,
warm
she...
character.
And she played that so well, you mm-hmm. know, because mm-hmm. I, she seemed, because it's so about like, it's like, even if she didn't like love him as a person, like I don't know. But, you know, she was just like, you know, it's like, there's still like the honor and all the things involved with it are still something that keep her emotionally invested enough to be like, like upset that that's happening to him, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. But at the same time too, it like, well, I don't want to spoil things, so I'm not going to say this. Never mind.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was like, no, don't tell us.
Omit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, you've seen more of it or something?
Well, I've read the book like, back in college.
Oh,
I will stand by my feedback that I don't love the way, and I know some of it is just the character. But like when Cosmo Jarvis's character has that fit in order to help distract from Hiroyuki Sanada being in the thing, I was like, I know you're supposed to be being obnoxious and loud and stuff like right now, but dude, it's just doing the scenery for me. There's just like no tact to it. For me, I you know, it's just yeah. I clearly have a chip on my shoulder about this man.
He's an acquired taste, and you know,
yeah,
I've acquired.
I mean, he's definitely not my favorite, but like, I guess I didn't mind that sequence all that much. I was more like worried that they were going to get found out. You know, I was in the suspense of the moment.
Yeah, but it's so good. I just love this show so much.
It's really, really good.
The whole boat chase, all of it,
it's stunning. You know, yeah. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it really is, and I am still so ecstatic that we get 10 episodes, because it just means we have 6 more weeks of it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of high production value and thrilling action, Jackie, how far did you make it into Damsel?
I watched the whole thing, but I wouldn't say like I was actively watching it the whole
time.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm sorry is what I have to say about this one.
Look, we all knew going into it, it could be either or, right?
Yeah. I found it offensive that I guess it's more out of respect for their status, but the fact that like Robin Wright and Angela Bassett have credits and are not listed as cameos in this film is absurd to me. Robin Wright did 2 days on set. Yeah.
They're like, you know what? We had to pay them so much. We're going to put them in the goddamn credits. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like
SAG rules.
They're on the poster. You would think it was like a war between them, like story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd be in a cave for the majority of the movie.
Which, oh my God. Just the. Oh. Ironically, the dragon didn't look terrible. I thought the dragon was okay.
Yeah. I didn't love the design much, but she looked fine.
No, yeah. But.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I really hated the costuming, even. I thought it was all really cheap looking. So cheap. And then.
Well, nothing
and then
was
of course,
dirty. Everything nothing looked
the grounds was awful. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like when they're overlooking the like vista, I was like, oh, God. Like, it couldn't have been more obvious it wasn't real. Like, they didn't even like get stock footage of a pretty location because you could tell the water wasn't even running in the, you know, the river in the shot.
It was so good.
I felt that. The unfortunate thing, I found it watchable. Like, I wasn't
It was. I mean, obviously, you didn't turn it off, right?
I wasn't like happy about any of it, but I wasn't. It was one of those things where it was watchable, but it wasn't so egregious the whole time that it was like, oh, this is hysterical. I love it so much because it's funny. It was just more kind of disappointingly like, even the best things about it were just aggressively mediocre. Like, nothing was great, you know. I did like, I can never say her name correctly, but
Shara Agda Shalou.
Yeah, and she played the dragon. I liked her as the voice of the dragon, actually. I thought it was interesting. I just don't like it. I would have preferred, I know we were kind of like smog and everything, but when you'd see the dragon and she's talking, I would prefer that her mouth just didn't move. Like, I'm like, it's a dragon. Just say that it can.
Do the dragon heart thing.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the greatest films of all time.
Exactly, yeah. Like, and because when she would be moving her mouth talking is when she looked the worst.
Yeah.
But other than that, and then it would be a real cheese factor. But I thought as far as the voice performance went and what they did to her voice, it gave like a nice little creepy vibe. And I was like, okay, I like this.
No,
and
there was
some
super
stuff in it. So I wish it just kind of leaned into like being a darker, more epic feeling thing. But it felt so hokey.
Well, also, I mean, to Jackie's constant credit, like, could this have been solved with one conversation? Yes, it could. Hello, I am not the blood of these people. I have been foiled by the patriarchy. See? And then also, you know, people under the spell of patriarchy, because Robin Wright is a purveyor of this issue. But, you know, it's just like, okay, we're just going to chase. And then who had time to write this weird blood glow-in-the-dark map and come back and, like,
I was like, okay, so they all die, right? But they had time to explore and write a map and like not live.
Well, I was also like, I stopped paying attention after a while. I was like, are the glowworms supposed to be like the spirits of the princesses? Oh. And that's why they're like, I don't think that's correct, honestly. It would have been more interesting.
Yeah.
You know, but also somebody explain to me how a dragon burns its innards to like, even if it has a wound.
That was like, my big thing is I was like, listen, I know something about dragon rules. And they cannot burn themselves. They are not susceptible to the pains of fire.
Right.
But just from a biological standpoint, like, it doesn't make sense that something that your body naturally does would hurt you.
Yeah.
I guess the only logic I could see behind it is if like you were to cut so deep into like the neck that like whatever protective sac layer or whatever that, you know, allows them to breathe fire safely out of it gets punctured and you get like a spurt out of it. So like one part might singe, but your whole face to melt off dragon
crazy.
Rules were violated. And
but
I was
also
not
this,
happy.
Usually violated. This,
I mean, I thought the glowworm thing was just so convenient. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like it was just like, oh my God. Yes. Of course they're like, we have to figure out a way we can light this cave we're gonna be in for the next long time, and also we should probably heal her so we don't have to be doing this makeup every day.
Right.
Let's just
and so we can make it like we can pretend this is somehow believable that she has escaped this dragon, so she has to have gotten wounded, right? Because it's like it was just so crazy that she could even get away half the time.
Yeah. And oh my God, her confrontation at the other wedding! I was like, I can't even watch.
See, this is why I asked how far you made it. I can't, wow, I can't believe I took this many notes on it. I mean, I only took one page, but that's, I was also upset. I was like, why is this dragon punishing women and not the men who were responsible? Because no matter what, this dragon knows that a bunch of dudes showed up and murdered her eggs. So why is she like, you know, I get it. You took my daughters. I'm going to take yours. But why isn't it like, give me your sons?
Like, yeah. Well, that's men. The thing is it should have been like, let me go ahead and take all of your sons from you to punish men, but also like to accomplish the same thing. I'm taking a child from you.
Your child. You know? Yeah. Or three kids.
And it's like three give a year a for the rest of time. Because this was centuries later. So this went on for hundreds of years. And it's like, I get it, but at the same time, I'm like, what does this dragon do? It just hangs out in there, and then once a century, three women are
someone?
Given, like, you know, like, it's just very strange.
It doesn't even seem like she eats them.
That's the thing, is the bodies were there. Yeah, and then...
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Yeah, and but it's just like, it was just this weird, like, what is it doing? What's she doing all this time? She just hangs out in there, and then... Because at first I was like, can she not go outside anymore? And then she did, so I was like, okay. I don't really understand.
I legit had the same thing. I was like, oh, well, maybe she can't hunt or whatever anymore, but...
Maybe she just chooses not to. I don't know. I mean,
I guess, like, but like what? She's not eating anything, though, if she's not going outside.
She's probably going outside.
She's living on glowworms.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she's a vegetarian. I feel like this film was trying to be feminist, and in doing so, accidentally made itself like misogynistic.
Like, well, that's exactly it. It wanted to have a female protagonist down there fighting the dragon. And they wrote a story that made it very like, oh, you know, and I guess you could say, oh, well, women suffer for the problems of men. But then it's like, okay, but this is a woman inflicting the suffering on the women. So it's like,
right,
because of men. But like, I don't know. Maybe there's a deeper commentary there and I don't want to know.
I don't think there is. I think it's,
I'm just like, this
I really
is silly.
Don't think so either.
Yeah. And then my other big note was world's fastest turnaround on red flags for the wedding, because Angela Bassett's like, oh my God, you need to get married and do blah, blah. And then like 30 seconds later, she's like, I have a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. And I will say that was one thing that I did, I guess, like about it was did like the abandoning the trope of like the evil stepmother. Like I kind of liked the idea that it was like, her dad sucked, obviously. And stepmom
he tried to redeem himself. Yeah.
Well, he after condemning her to death for money. Like, I'm sorry, that's irredeemable. Like
he
I'm not,
literally
I'm not,
sold
I'm
her.
Never,
okay, but is this money, is this the needs of die. The many? No, it's the money is to fund his like, you know, people. Like I will give the needs of the many scenario. Like it's not just like I want to be rich.
Yeah,
he still sacrificed his daughter. I don't
literally. Let it.
Fine,
dragon
fine, fine.
Torment his daughter.
Yeah. Like at that point, I would just be like, the other because I was gonna say the other stupid thing about the plan is it's like you're going and finding royals from other kingdoms.
No, they're not.
Well, they're not, I guess. But he was like, he's I don't know what he was of the realm. He
like
lived
the mayor.
In,
or
no,
something.
No, they're just finding like people in need who are, because all they have to do to make them royal is to cut the hand and do the blood thing.
Well, to make them one of their royals, but I'm saying, but they're finding like people of note in these other towns where you could just go get some peasant woman and just like, you know, like, make her do this. Like, but they're finding kingdoms under the guise
that's
of like,
true.
Oh,
you
let's
could just,
join our
you
kingdoms
could just kidnap
together.
A bunch of people. I'm not even being sarcastic. You could just kidnap a bunch of people. And be
that's
like,
what I mean. Like, you could just literally kidnap people. Like, or you could just take your, you know, a line of people from your village that totally suck and just be like, you guys are condemned to being, to having to just procreate and do that. It's stupid no matter what. But I'm just saying it was just like, you're going after, and you have to get someone of notability to like give up their daughter for money. And it's just like, how many kingdoms can there possibly be that you're doing this with? Like,
you know what I mean? That's the same question as like, how many glowworms
and no
are
one's
in this cave?
On. Yeah. It was just, it was bizarre and crazy. And I also reject the idea that like through this ceremony, just cutting your hand open and having a little bit of blood transfusion is
that's
like
how blood
enough
works.
To make,
everyone
to
knows
trick
enough.
This dragon into
that's
the,
how blood
I
works.
Smell the royal blood in you. It's like, oh my
God. Nope, no. Just takes a drop. They're like sharks. They're the sharks of the skies.
It was very dumb.
It's just...
I'm writing that shark dragons are the sharks of the skies. Okay, so I think we knew going into this that the director is, I got his name wrong, Juan Carlos Fresnadillo, who directed 28 Weeks Later. Not the same as the writer, though. Would you like to know what the writer has worked on?
Didn't we go over this? I thought
we did, but it's also, I now see what they are currently working on.
Yes.
You're right. We did regress. Okay. So they did the story and the screenplay for Fast X, a favorite of mine. The other credit is Wrath of the Titans in 2012. That's it. And then Damsel. But they are working on four films at present. One is called Two for the Money. One is a Van Helsing script.
Is Two for the Money the Stephanie Plum one? Oh my God. I'm going to be so annoyed.
I don't know. The thieves are involved.
Didn't that already happen?
No. Oh my God, Daniel Craig and Charlize Theron are attached, and then Justin Lin is directing. I don't know how I feel about this. Whoa. I don't like this. There's another one called Luna Park, which I don't have a group of renegade employees who ventured to the moon to steal an energy source. Can't wait.
Yep.
The last one is called Cowboy Ninja Viking.
It all follows. Yeah, it all tracks.
Yeah, with Chris Pratt. Okay.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
It was one for the money, is the Stephanie Plum.
I was going to say, because that already happened.
Two for the dough. And so I thought, oh my God, are they finally making a sequel and it's this guy writing? Because anyway, I like those books and I just forgot. But anyway, well, sorry.
Yeah. Well, we gave Millie Bobby Brown a chance.
I'm definitely into this Luna thing. It sounds pretty great.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I'm definitely going to. It's going to be great.
Stealing things from the moon? Pro.
Yeah. You know? Fuck it. Let's steal the moon itself. I mean,
well,
what's stopping?
Do we know the moon's real? I don't think we know that the moon is real.
That's
so
true. It is a hoax. You can't land on it.
Not according to Moonfall.
Oh, it's hollow.
Well, it's from the aliens, remember?
I mean, it's real. It's just hollow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The same level of science that has been applied to Damsel. A dragon burning its own innards and
yep.
The moon is something. Stealable.
And glow slugs.
Glow slugs are so
dumb. No, not just healing, like wounds.
Reverse
like
leeches
them.
Is what I was calling them. Like glow reverse
yeah.
leeches.
Yeah.
Exactly. Reversed it. Because it wasn't even like.
In you.
Yeah, that was. It was wild. Because, like, that kind of burn doesn't just get fixed. Like,
well, no, beyond that, repairing a wound is far different than reconstructing an entire eyeball. Like,
yeah, that's so true.
Like, the dragon had its eye back. She was thriving at the end there. She looked better than before.
Also, if these things existed in this cave, why are people not trying to plunder it for that reason? Like, come on. This is the ultimate natural resource.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Who doesn't want their own personal glowworm?
Yeah. I mean, this is utterly absurd. All right. Well, we're watching what? Please tell me we watched anything better than Damsel. I don't have a lot better, but what did you all watch this week?
I did Love Lies Bleeding, but I know we're going to talk about that later.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. Yeah.
I did Bet It All on Blonde.
Is that
the Erica Jane, like. It's
yeah,
on,
yeah, yeah.
About, like
docu-series
show or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just two episodes. But yeah.
All right.
Entertaining enough. And, you know, I think that's it.
Okay.
I've been watching a lot of Summer House.
Regular or Martha's Vineyard?
Regular.
Oh, let me tell you.
Season six now.
All right. I couldn't get into regular Summer House, but Martha's Vineyard, I really enjoyed. And it's coming back.
I mean, I like Summer House.
Yeah.
Well
yeah,
enough.
I couldn't get into it, but I liked Martha's
Vineyard. I mean, they're all assholes, right? But if it's normal
reality. Yeah. That's why we watch it. I spared you two from Ricky Stenicki, starring John Cena and Zac Efron, which is actually a decent pairing. And then, what was it, Peter Farrelly directed it? Who, speaking of the Oscars, won the Oscar for Green Book won the Oscar under him. I'm just like, what has happened here?
Talk about a dark year.
God, So yeah, Peter Farrelly did direct it. It should have been like a bunch of SNL sketches that just like went on too long with like connective tissue. And there are like a couple, I don't think you two would have laughed terribly much, but I was just like, I love John Cena so much. I'm going to give this a chance. And I was like, this is honestly shame on all the female characters in this. Again, keeping up with like the damsel plot for like supporting these men. Because the premise is like, I like the premise actually. The premise is the three childhood friends have this made up, you know, character or friend or whatever that they blame all their nonsense on. Like, oh, Ricky Stenicki broke the whatever. Ricky Stenicki, like, caused the car to have a flat tire or, you know, whatever it is. Like, oh, he was smoking in the house. All this crap. And then, like, at some point they have to have this person materialize. And then they hired John Cena to do it. And it's just, I was like, okay, the premise is actually fine, but the execution was beyond uneven. And then I watched Kung Fu Panda 4, which, it was fine. We don't need four. We didn't need four of them. I don't remember.
I can't imagine why you didn't need four.
I know. I don't remember
when
anything.
When I saw, I was going to say, when I saw the trailer for four is when I was made re-aware, I guess, that there was more than one. So
I don't.
I literally was wondering if it was like the sixth one. To be honest, I felt.
I thought it was five for a while. I was like,
so it was like, I was like, oh,
yeah.
I don't think I've seen one since one.
Yeah, I don't think of all. I just don't remember.
I've definitely seen one of the sequels, but I couldn't even tell you which one.
Yeah,
between two and three. But I don't think I've seen both. I don't know though. I mean.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, the whole half the thing about it was like, oh, they have all these super famous names, right? Like Angelina Jolie was in it, Lucy Liu, Jackie Chan. And then this one, almost none of them came back. And so they had to like explain away, but the characters were still there. And I was like, what is happening? And they're like, oh, they're off doing whatever. And then you see like the, you know, I was just like, this is a choice.
Like, but Jack Black still did it, right?
Jack Black still did it. Still, you know. He is charming enough just like as a personality that.
Well, and he gets whatever their lead money is, he gets that. So he's.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I'm just saying like he makes it semi-tolerable.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. I was just like, I don't need this. And like it's clearly they're trying to pass the torch to like Awkwafina does a voice in this and they're starting to pass the torch of the Dragon War and blah, blah, blah. But they refuse to commit to it because I was like, they refuse to like kill the cash cow. They're like, no, not as marketable, you know, just in case. And what was the other funny thing? Oh, the best thing to come out of it is Tenacious D covering Hit Me Baby One More Time. It is the credit song, and it's legitimately excellent.
I'm sure it is. That sounds nice, actually.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I highly recommend looking it up. So that the highlight of my week was Hit Me Baby One More Time by Tenacious D. That's it.
Here for it. Yeah.
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 That's it. Well, thank you both. As per usual, a huge thank you to Jackie and Matt, and that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.